Joining us right now on the HRMP guest line, longtime MLB insider for USA Today, MLB Network Radio, and friend of the program. He's our buddy Bob Nightingale. What's going on, Bob? How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Patrick.
I always appreciate you taking a little bit of time for us. Bob, let's start with the Astros here, since we are in Houston. How aggressive are the Astros going to be? You can see them, starting pitching, certainly a need. Bullpen, certainly a need. Dana Brown has said he'd like to get a left-handed power bat. How aggressive do you think they'll be, and what do you think they will wind up coming out with at the trade deadline?
I think they'll be aggressive. They need exactly what you mentioned. I would think you look at White Sox and St. Louis, they got, stars available. I think a Lance Lynn would be a great pickup for the Astros. He's a veteran guy, great in the clutch. He's got a higher ERA, but he's pitched very well of late. Someone like Adam Schultz, they've been talking about left-handed reliever. He's still getting another one for about 3 years there now. So that would be nice. Then a left-handed power bat. There's not a whole lot of those guys out there, but it's a whole lot easier to get a bat now than it is getting a pitcher.
Bob, what do you think it would cost to acquire a player like Cody Bellinger? And could you see Bellinger and the Astros uniting after some of the previous acrimony between the two?
Well, I think if they were serious about Bellinger, you would certainly go in the clubhouse and talk to guys like Bregman and see what he thinks. You don't want, it's usually bygones be bygones. I'll start with the Dodgers. Just signed Jake Mariznick. And those guys were very vocal about the Astros and everybody there. Of course, Mariznick was part of it. So, that went over fine. But I would think if they were really interested in a Bellinger, they would ask guys in the clubhouse, what do you guys think? And if they say, we prefer not to, they would drop it. I think the asking price for Bellinger probably be higher than it should. So we'll see. But certainly he's one of the top left-handed bats out there.
Bob, the Texas Rangers have certainly outperformed any and all potential expectations this year, mostly behind a bully offense that, once it gets a lead, really beats the hell out of the underbelly of another team's bullpen. They've got a monster run differential. They've gotten tremendous starting pitching. Certainly some guys outperforming expectations. Nate Eovaldi maybe having a career year. Bullpen was a little shaky. They went and got Aroldis Chapman. What do you expect the Rangers to do with the deadline? How aggressive do you think they will be?
I would think they'd be aggressive just because they've been aggressive so far in free agency. So, why not keep going? Granted, you're not going to give away, two of your top five prospects, maybe one of them. So, they see that windows are open, but it's not shutting either. I think it's a case where, hey, they make the playoffs, they're thrilled. If they don't make it to a World Series, okay, knowing that the best is to come, that they're just going to, keep on coming. DeGrom's going to be healthy, at some point, maybe not until 2025. But at least, they know that the future's not now. It's like they're going to get better and better.
Bob, in the AL East, the Orioles, the Jays, and the Red Sox are all real hot. The Rays and the Yankees are ice cold. The Rays are finding new ways to lose games. The Yankees, they just keep using the same old ways to lose games. Yankees are 5 over. They're 9 out. They are dead last in the AL East. Is it panic time in the Bronx?
I think there's a lot of urgency, a lot more urgency than we've seen by the Yankees, in mid-October. So I'm not saying they're panicking, but I think there's a lot of pressure building up. I've been losing, through some bad teams recently, too. And you're right, and they're losing late games now. They're getting blown out. Things we're not used to seeing. It's amazing what Aaron Judge means to that team, and that's the definition of an MVP, how a team performs with you or without you. And he means the world to those guys. So maybe he comes back and he'll be fine. But I think it's going to be a dogfight just for them to make the playoffs.
I know this comes from somebody who grew up a Mets fan and has embraced the Astros, covering the team for the last 10 years. Has Brian Cashman gotten more passes as a Yankees general manager than all other Yankees general managers combined?
Well, that I think is reflected by ownership. I mean, if George Steinbrenner was still on the team, he would trade away every prospect possible, go for this thing. Hal is not like a like his dad. It is more passive. You know, free agency. You know, they're not throwing the big money at people. They haven't. You know, they did it with Aaron Judge, but they haven't done it with the outside guy. Since Garrett Cole, and I just think they're more passive that way. And I think Hal Steinbrenner's thing is, you know what? You look at Tampa Bay Rays, look at Baltimore, two teams in our division. You know, if they can win with payrolls under $100 million, you know, why do you need a $300 million payroll?
Talking with Bob Nightingale, longtime MLB insider, USA Today, MLB Network Radio, with us on the HRMP guest line. But the Rays are, once again, really good and loaded with a ton of young talent. Their farm system is one of the best in baseball. And we find them in this situation where it's like, you know, if they could make a move for a big-time player, maybe that would put them over the top. They've gotten close a couple of times. Is this the year the Rays are willing to part with some high-end talent to potentially rent a player that could put them over the top?
I think it is. I need to be as aggressive as anybody at the trade deadline. And the reason I say that, I think this is the Rays' best team ever. They're loaded with talent. They've been playing 500 ball now for too long, you know, the last few months. You know, good thing for them, they got that hot start. But yeah, they need a little boost here. So I fully expect them to be, very aggressive. Maybe the most aggressive team out there. They got so many players too. You can't keep them all. So I think they realize that this is a chance to win the World Series, not just win the division.
Bob, the two most disappointing teams in baseball, the Mets and the Padres. The Mets are 7 under. The Padres are 6 under. Both are double digits out in their division, and they're, you know, somewhat down the line in the wild card hunt. When we get to August 1st, are the Mets or the Padres in or out?
I think they're out. I think both teams, sell off some pieces. The Mets, whether it's a Tommy Pham or David Robertson in Canada, you're not going anywhere. So you might as well move those guys. Same thing with the Padres. They're not going anywhere. So why not move, a Josh Hader, a Blake Snell? We can get you some real nice piece in return. We'll see what happens. And you still got 2 weeks to see if they're, if they kid themselves and think they're still in the race. But yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how underachieving both teams are. I think the Padres, if they don't make it, will go down as the most underachieving team in baseball history. And then you just, got 11 All-Stars. Everybody's talking about World Series or bust. I think they have it's a smaller payroll, but a lot more talent than the Mets do.
Bob, the wheels have come off of the Cardinals this year, and it certainly makes sense they would be selling. You got like Jordan Montgomery. Could Jack Flaherty, who's had a rough season, be on the block? Is there any chance that they would move on from Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt, or are those guys going to be playing the rest of the rest of their careers in St. Louis?
Yeah, I think they like them both be rest of careers. I mean, Arenado still has, 4 or 5 years left of the contract. Goldschmidt signed through next year. Both love it there. I mean, every player loves playing there. They're in the race, every year but this year. Low pressure. So just an easy place to play. So, no, they want to win 2024. So all their moves they're going to make here at the trade deadline are all geared to win next year and bounce right back.
As usual, the Pirates' hot start, very much a mirage, and they've crashed back to earth very, very hard. Every year it seems like people are talking about, well, the Pirates have some players that they could sell, but then the Pirates don't actually move those guys. Is this the year that, maybe a couple of Pirates players get moved, whether it's an outfielder, whether it's David Bednar? Do you see the Pirates doing anything, or are they a team that, like some of these young players they have coming up, some getting hurt, but guys who they look at their future and say, okay, we're going to have some young guys coming up. Let's slow play it and see how it develops next year?
I think they slow play it. I really do. I mean, you can't trade away a Bednar. If you're ever going to win, you need a guy like that closing out games. You're right. We're so used to these hot starters and in bad finishes. Yeah, I remember even the hot start. You know, GMs were saying, "Yeah, hey, I'll bet you a steak dinner they're not going to finish 500." You know, it turns out they're right. But it's a weak division. They're on their way. There is hope. So I don't see just extinguishing that hope, you know, by trading away, you know, young, controllable guys like Bednar. So I think, you know, I think they'd ultimately stay pat.
All right, Bob, here's the winner. Los Angeles Angels. They are a game under. They've lost 7-10. They give up a ton of runs. The bullpen is hideous. They're 9 out in the division. They're well down the line on the wild card as well. In 2 weeks, is Shohei Ohtani an Angel?
I really believe he is. I just can't see trading him. They want to keep him. You know, the only way they would trade him, this isn't going to happen. Shohei Ohtani, Mark Senroffice is getting out of here. And that's not going to happen. If you want to keep him, they do. You know, if you trade him, he's gone forever. Remember now, he makes a franchise about $20 million a year. So you're going to flush $8 million or so, $9 million down the toilet, you know, give up all that advertising and merchandising and everything else. You know, you're going to alienate all your fans. You got a chance to, you know, break Aaron Judge's, you know, AL home run record. So just too many factors, you know, go into it. You know, and, you know, I think people get carried away too, like, oh, you can rebuild your farm system. Well, how many trades happen where, you know, nobody comes back? I mean, it's not like a, you know, John Smoltz for Doyle type thing. It's like, I mean, Alexander, a lot of these prospects are just that, you know, a lot don't turn out. Some do, some don't. But, you know, are you really going to trade Shohei Ohtani for unproven guys who may be bust?
If Shohei tells them he's not re-signing there, do they have to trade him?
Then it would, but then you make that public too. Like, okay, Ohtani wants out. Don't blame us. He wants out. This way, if they don't trade him, and he leaves a free agent, they can say, well, Ohtani chose to leave. If they trade him, it's all on the Angels, not Ohtani's choice. It's the Angels. So PR wise, everything else, money wise. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to trade him. It really doesn't.
Bob Nightingale, MLB Insider, USA Today, MLB Network Radio, with us on the HRMP guest line. Of course, follow him on Twitter at @BNightingale. Bob, always a pleasure, man. Appreciate your time. We'll catch up soon, buddy.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB Network Radio, joining us here on the Paul Gallant Show.